So he thinks he's Satan, and he's like given his information about his occupation, Prince of Lies. His name is like, he goes by all these names of the devil. Oh, and
I wrote them all down.
Yes. They're okay. All good. What do you got?
So, because he asks him, you know, what should I call you? He says, whatever you like. Satan, the devil, angel of the bottomless pit, prince of darkness, lord of the dead, lord of vermin, Lucifer, Pluto, Apollyon, Abdabon, Belial, Beelzebub, and Old Nick.
Yep.
So they were.
Horror Movie Survival Guide is a weekly podcast where I, Gorehound Julia Marchesi, delves into my horror movie notebook to corrupt another one of my longtime chums, Terry Gamble, who is hiding in the creepy horror closet.
My mission is to learn the gospel of horror movie survival and to incorporate Julia's wealth of wisdom to become a final girl disciple.
Join us as we take a deep dive into everything from OG horror
to newly released films,
but prefer the classics on VHS.
We'll talk about obscure details that no one else notices.
Spin off into alternate casting universes, crush on some dodgy, foxy fellows,
and creepy uncles, and arm ourselves with the knowledge necessary to become the final girl. Hello, everybody.
Why, hi there.
Welcome to Horror Movie Survival Guide.
I'm Julia.
I'm Terry.
And this week we're talking about 2002's Crazy as Hell.
Hell.
The title of this episode is My Name is Satan.
Yeah.
And the tagline for this movie is Malice, Madness, Mayhem.
This
film was good.
Uh-huh. I'll take a triple M. I like it.
This movie was written by Eric Jenderson and Jeremy Levin, which is based on Jeremy Levin's novel. Ready for this title?
Yeah.
Satan, His Psychotherapy and Cure by the Unfortunate Dr. Kassler, JSPS. Or okay. Crazy as Hell. You can see why they might have shortened it a bit.
I think I would have changed the title too for a film.
This movie was directed by Eric LaSalle,
who also stars in this film.
He does.
So fun. This is like one of the it guys from the 90s. So sexy and, you know, cool. And this is like, I guess a passion project, I'm guessing, of his that he came upon, I'm sure.
I'm always down for passion projects. Those always make me very happy. This movie won me over instantly because they start out with a Sam Cooke song. And I was like, well, there you are. I'm just happy now.
And then we also have Michael Beach also starring in this. He's like a major soap star too of this time. These are like the iconic, like sexy. I just remember because I grew up with Ebony magazine being like a staple in my house. Mm-hmm. And these guys were cover guys for that kind of thing like all the time. Do you know what I mean? These are the guys that would be featured in the pages of just like, as like black excellence and just like super hot dudes. And especially of the 90s here with these like 90s suits. I forgot how big guys' suits were until like this watching this movie. I was like, oh yeah, nothing fit guys right. Like it was just big, like the boys to men suits, you know, like I just remember them like, you know, in their shows.
I don't think I had seen either one of them in anything before because I never watched soaps and, you know, ER, I know that he was on as well.
Eric was on. Yeah, I just watched like I was rewatching some episodes like season 4, episode 1, which was their live action episode, which is a hoot and so weird. It's a fun little time capsule and just interesting to see kind of how medical dramas have changed since then too, from like the Grey's Anatomy since then. But they were both in it like on an episode together. I was like, oh yeah, they were both on these. Okay, this is like grounding this even more of like how they're friends and like they were probably working on ER, one of these shows, mm-hmm. before they ended up doing this film together. Also some other great comedians I loved. I was excited about Sinbad is in this movie. Mm-hmm. And Twink Kaplan, who's the Mrs. Geist from Clueless.
Yes.
Is in this film. And I was like, okay. When I saw her name pop up, I was like, oh, I got way too excited. I love her so much. And she's so weird. So just like, I can't wait to see what weirdness this is.
So we open this film with a kind of dream fake out, opening where we don't know, you know, what's really happening. We open on, Ty, who is sitting in a chair with a box in his lap, and then looks out into the, like he's in the dressing room looking out into a bedroom. And
I thought it was like
blood.
A picture or like a frame in his lap or something.
Oh, okay.
I thought it's a picture frame, I think, in his hand.
Yes, you're right.
Of his kid, I think, that seems to have passed on or something. So we're getting a lot of regret, like right away from this guy. he's got, and they do this beautiful, like, you know, the intro, they're kind of setting up, establishing who he is. And he's got this very like Dr. Huxtable kind of vibe. Do you know what I mean? Though, like, of the upwardly mm-hmm. mobile kind of black gentleman and his family, they kind of look a little too perfect. So you're like, oh, something bad must have happened in this family. You know, they're going over like his degrees and, you know, as his doctoral stuff and like pictures of his achievements and everything. Mm-hmm. So you kind of get a little glance of his life during the opening credits as we're looking at all of this stuff.
Yeah. So we see there's a stuffed dolphin laying on the ground and there's some blood coming out from behind underneath the bed. But then he kind of startles awake. The next scene, we are in Seda State Hospital. And he, on his way up to the hospital, runs over some glass and gets a flat tire, which is kind of a bad omen on the way to this place.
Going to a new place. And then we find out he's actually going there to work on a reality TV show. I was like, because yes. I was wondering, I was like, I had that moment too where I was like, is he crazy? Is he checking in? Because he's crazy because he had his luggage and stuff. I was like, oh, he's going to an insane asylum. But I was like, but he's also a doctor. Then I was like, oh, okay. It looks like he's going there for some sort of work. So we find out he meets this other doctor there.
They're filming a documentary. So they're going to be there for 30 days and it's 24/7 surveillance. So this is him and 10 patients is the deal.
So he's this like pop psychiatrist, basically. So he's like the Dr. Phil-ish kind of vibe of the day, where he goes in and is like, I'm going to help straighten these people out and get them off their meds. That's his deal. He just doesn't think people should be on meds. It felt very like kind of Scientology a little bit about it. Just like psychotherapy being terrible or whatever. Like, but he wants to use therapy for good and get people off medication is his goal. So, he knows he's going to be watched the whole time. And this is one of those moments too, where he's like, the doctor's like, you sure you understand what you're going to be part of? And he's like, yeah, you're going to be 24/7 surveillance from the time I take my morning dump. I figured that's the only time they're not going to be filming. And hopefully the time that I spend a few minutes pleasuring myself in the morning, hopefully he'll cut away for that. And that's about it. So, we also find out he's dealing with some personal losses because the doctor says his condolences to him. So, this doctor has lost his wife and his child recently.
Yes. And he actually has a vision of them in the room there as well. So we also get set up that the doctors like to play chess. So they're doing a little chess game with each other during this whole film.
Yeah. Beautiful chess board too, of like, yeah, you know, like with like jade kind of pieces and stuff. And I love one of the lines he has too, that our Dr. Ty Adams has is, as they're talking to him about, you know, joining this or being in this place. But he walks through and he has this beautiful room and all this stuff. And it's got a grand piano in it. I was like, this is a really nice dig. They got him set up in a beautiful place. And as he runs his fingers across, you know, the keys of the piano, he says, who says craziness doesn't pay? So yeah, he's feeling like he's going to get really well paid for this. And I know I already talked about the oversized suits of the era of the early O's. This is like 2002, but like that peachy orange lighting that feels like, you know, when you're in an era and you don't realize that that's the thing. Like I was like, oh, this is an early O's movie. It looks like early O's from the clothing to like even the lighting concept and design is very steeped in that.
Yeah, but it does feel very late 90s in the kind of design. But like, I have to say that I felt like even in the 90s, I knew the 90s fashions weren't very good. So I feel secure in that knowledge. I always thought they were kind of bad. So we have this wonderful introduction shot of the mental patients, because they're walking through and he's all very quiet and it's very nice and he's like, it's very deserted and he's like, kind of, are we the only people here kind of thing?
That's a quiet place here.
Open these doors and it's just pandemonium and this crazy like tracking shot of taking them all the way through all of these people with their different disorders, and it looks like just chaos.
And this looks like one of those stereotypes of what you think a mental institution, like, do you know what I mean, though, from back in the day would look like. It's just all bad from, you know, just like they, you know, trying to like this guy dressed in a bridal gown to like, you know, people just rolling around on the floor, just screaming. I think I knew one of the extras in there too. I was like, oh my God, I think I know her. Anyway, I'll talk about this and be like, really? Like, she goes on to have a career and does a lot of other stuff after this, but I was just like, I think that's her. But it looks like a real madhouse and everyone's got like these crazy gleams in their eyes and stuff. The AC is out, so it's really hot and everyone's just complaining about the heat in this place.
And we meet the patient. Ty complaining about the heat. Everybody else seems to be kind of okay with it, but he keeps saying like, it's so hot in here.
He's like melting.
Yeah. Yes. So we get him in this big group of patients and it looks kind of for a minute, they're all kind of going to kind of swarm in on him, but he's able to, through Twink Kaplan,
yeah,
sort of taking her down in front of everybody. And now like,
well, she grabs his hand and licks his and sucks on his thumb. Like she's sucking on a, you know, yeah, and like gets real sexual about it. And then he like admonishes her like, oh, that was great. Can you do that again? And she's like, oh, like didn't expect him to like actually receive it instead of like trying to be already like combative. He does that thing where he diffuses that energy and changes it and makes her like kind of, you know, subdued her. And then with her in line, the rest of the people kind of calm down and get like, oh, he's not like the others. Like he's going to be okay. Right. Let's see what we can do.
Because he says, yes, he's not, and he's non-medicinal treatment. And he does not believe in mental illness. He says it's an imbalance or irregularity, and any attempt to alter the imbalances should be referred to as a reconstructive societal adjustment.
Exactly right.
So this is his theory that he's going to test out. So it's him and 10 other patients are going to be shut away in this wing altogether. He's going to see if he can cure them in 30 days. An impossible task for anybody, but hey, it's a documentary. Let's go for it.
But he feels up to the challenge and he's like very overly confident. So they're like, you got a big ego, dude. And so this is something that he's kind of contending with the other doctor. And even with the director of the film played by lovingly by John C. McKinley, who's I think so hilarious fun as hell. And he's like kind of a sadistic director, like of any kind of reality show director. I feel like even watching like that show Unreal, like you're just like, okay, these producers are nuts. They want the mayhem. And so he's like, oh, this is going to be good, whatever breaks and happens with these people, because it's already a hot mess in here and it's just going to get worse. And we also have this character Red Eye played by Sinbad, who's like the orderly there. And he keeps trying to reach out to the doctor and be like, hey man, can we like, we need to pull you aside. Can we talk for a second? I just want to kind of give you the lay of the land of this place. And he's just always doesn't have time for him. This continues throughout the film. So we kind of set that game up here.
Mm-hmm. So then we meet Cheryl, who's one of the patients there. He has his first interaction with her. She has a stuffed turtle that he handles and she goes bananas. So he sees her and you can tell that he's got that Nobel Prize gleam in his eye where he's like, she's the one. She's the one who can, this will be all about her. And you're like, oh no, sir, you can already see that you're in a dangerous path.
That is your downfall. I like right away, you can see that. And so basically he gets challenged. That's the one, like they like kind of pick the game and they're like, okay, if you can cure her, we'll consider you the hero that you say you are. And yeah. So he's on a mission.
Severely abused and came to the hospital when she was 12. So it's a tall order. So then the next day we have a gentleman who just walked in and admitted himself.
Yep. The night before in the middle of the night, like,
yep.
But rolls up in like this gorgeous, like Bentley of a car, gets dropped off, has beautiful luggage, well appointed clothes, just like smooth as hell, not crazy as hell, smooth as hell.
Yeah. Definitely. And they say, yeah, no visual trauma, utterly rational, asymptomatic. And Dr. DeLosso is just going to be like, we're giving him to you. You go have fun with that. See what the deal is. So comes in and first words is, hello, doctor. My name is Satan. It's a pleasure to meet you. You go.
He's okay. Okay, cool, cool, cool. So I guess that's where the break is just the name. So we got to figure that out. So he thinks he's Satan and he's like given his information about his occupation, Prince of Lies. His name is like, he goes by all these names of the devil. Oh, and
I wrote them all down.
Yes. They're
all
okay. Good. What do you got?
So, cause he asks them, you know, what should I call you? He says, whatever you like, Satan, the devil, angel of the bottomless pit, Prince of Darkness, Lord of the Dead, Lord of Vermin, Lucifer, Pluto, Apollyon, Abdabon, Belial, Beelzebub, and Old Nick.
Yep.
So they were. You're like, those are some, not even all of them.
And then they're like, well, what's your sex? And he put male or female. And he's like, either. And he's like, oh, okay. And then he's like, your social security number is 666. Is that real? He's like, no. Just having fun with the people when I checked in.
Yeah. But then it's like, I don't have a social security number. That's the joke.
Yeah. And he's like, so, why are you here? Like, he wants to know.
He doesn't want to be treated as a man who thinks he is Satan. He is Satan. But he doesn't want to be responsible and blamed for every evil thing in the world.
great. Like, he feels like that women and men and everybody has, like, you know, have they used him as a scapegoat? Or are they angry at God? He's like, no, I don't. That's not it. I just need you to treat me as Satan and just prove that I am, basically. So, and he also says, I want your soul.
Yeah. Well, what does Satan always want? That he says he doesn't, but he always does.
He want it.
You know, and I think, you know, I've seen enough movies with Satan in it to kind of realize that you can't trust anything that comes out of his mouth, right? Like, that's the whole deal. Even if this person, either way, if they do think they're Satan, they're lying. If they aren't Satan, they're also lying. So you're in a kind of it's catch 22 there, ain't you? Lying either way.
It's a full on. Yeah. Well, that's the deal. Prince of Lies. Right. So mm-hmm. he thinks it's hopeless, you know, like what can we do for this guy? And so he decides he's going to try, figure it out. Yeah. And he's in the library that they have, this beautifully appointed library. Mm-hmm. Dr. Ty Adams is in the library and he's looking through and he stops the nurse's aide, basically, or like, you know, she's kind of everywhere in the film.
Nurse Danza.
Yeah. And he's like, hey, hypothetically speaking, if there was a patient that thought this, she's like, don't ask me things about the patients. Like, that's not my job. Like, yeah. You know, like, you could check their files, but
yes. If you could ask the devil, one question, what would you ask him? So at first she kind of pish-poshes him away, but then kind of stops, thinks about it, says, I'd ask him why he spends his time punishing sinners that he's supposed to adore to make a point to a God that he's supposed to despise. Good question. Good
Great question.
Question.
Yeah. But who happens to be on the other side of the stack of those books? Satan's like, listening.
See, here's the thing though. I was going to ask you, like, what question do you want to ask Satan? But the thing is it doesn't matter what question you ask because he's not going to tell you the truth.
He's going to lie.
So but why bother asking him anything?
Okay. It's really true. That's so true. I never even thought about that, Julia. It's really true. It's like, okay, yeah, you can ask him, but it's like, sure, he's going to tell you whatever you want to hear, like, or he thinks you want to hear or wants to share with you.
And what's going to make you give him your soul?
Yeah. So, you know, they have a lot of questions that arise, like, do you actually believe in the devil and, you know, about theology? And so they have this like kind of heart to heart moment, you know, about that. And like and we find out Ty says he's an atheist, basically, or agnostic at least, because he's like, I, you know, don't really, you know, whatever my patients need to think and believe, I'll support them. That helps them heal, you know, and get out of here. But I don't have a personal, you know, belief myself.
Cause he says he says he does believe in the presence of good and evil, but just not like an omnipotent being. And so he asks him if he's an agnostic or an atheist. And he says, actually, no, he's a confirmed existentialist.
There you go.
And Satan says, oh, those are my favorite, which is great. Cause I used to consider myself an existentialist in college. So I was like, oh, haha, it's true. Terrible.
Oh, existential dread. That makes a lot of sense, Julia.
He wants to take Cheryl off of her medication, which everyone is telling him is a terrible idea, but he's got this big ego where he wants to prove that he can cure her, play God, if you will.
Yep.
But she's schizophrenic, so it could have very bad outcome if she's taken off. And not to mention withdrawals. On top of everything else.
Yeah, is really the thing that I think people are also concerned about, because she's already she's barely kind of functioning. Like, you know what I mean?
Can we point out we talked about when he arrived that he's smooth, but how awesome Satan's outfits are in this movie? Because when we first meet him, he's like Dapper Dan, smooth, with a cane and the whole bit. He has a wolf's head cane, which is nice. But then later shows up in this hot ass, like, androgynous dress outfit with like a fishnet shirt and jewelry and shit. And I was like, damn,
it's
though.
Like BDSM all of a sudden. It is hot, 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 hot. Yeah. Every single one of his outfits. For sure. I was like, Eric LaSalle is having a good time with that wardrobe and was like, just make me look like a sex god just from different eras. Do you know what I mean? Though I was like, okay, yeah. He's like an old school sex god, like Dapper, like you said, Dapper Dan, Dandy kind of like sex god. You're like, okay, I see that. And I see him as like this BDSM sex god. And then like he has like, eventually he has on like a long dashiki kind of look. And like, he looks like just an earth, like mother kind of sex god, like different way. Always a sex god.
I'm in for it. I'm all for it. I hope he kept all those outfits because he looked good in them.
I hope so too. And I hope to use them, you know, like,
I know what you mean, but you know, the thing about Satan is, and is that he's, incredibly, charming, right? Appealing to everybody, and also up for having a good time and shaking things up and having a Satan dance party in the middle of the institution. What was I saying? Dance number in every movie. That's all I ask for. Right?
We had one last week and we have one this week. It's so true. And this is such a weird dance sequence though, too. It wasn't really sexy. It was just kind of like this weird, like, dorky tribal dance. I don't know what he was doing. Just some,
like,
movement.
Maybe some Satan learned like way back in the day and has never bothered to update his dancing style.
Yes.
And it's just like, I learned this at the dawn of time. It's good enough forever.
Yeah. Some ancient like motion, but it seems like he hypnotizes the entire, like everyone who before in the scene when we initially met, kind of the craziness of the institution were like, you know, going off the rails. They're all calm. It's like a snake charmer. Oh
yeah.
So to speak. Maybe that was the key, is more what it looks like. And everybody seems all cool now. So, and Ty comes in and is like, oh God, like, I can't believe you've got everybody kind of eating out of the palm of your hand like this. And they're enjoying their time with him. And like, he's flirting with people and all of it.
So then they decide Ty has this brilliant idea that everybody's too secluded. They need some time to just hang out and be normal people out in the sunshine, like normal folks. Let's take everybody out to a picnic in the park. And everyone's like, not really a good idea.
Probably want to take these group on a field trip.
But he kind of insists. And then Satan was not invited. Very purposely not invited, but invites
and he makes
himself.
He makes a stink about it and makes sure he goes there. And I think it's funny too, like there was a moment before as they were talking too, just about like, you know, existentialism and all that stuff and Satan. And he was just like, yeah, they kind of sell me a certain way for movies. It's like, I'm great at the box office, or at least I hope I still am. And that's like the meta line, I think, in the movie where he's like insinuating, wink, wink, nod, nod. Hopefully they still like this movie too. But the boundaries are not great.
It's true though. Satan is pretty good at the box office, right? Like always sells no matter what version of, you know, we should talk about our favorite versions. Maybe for our Patreon listeners, we could do a little special something.
That sounds great. Yeah, I think we should talk about Satan for Patreon. I like it.
All right. Great.
Patreon. So yeah.
So the picnic starts out okay. Of course, ends up in complete anarchy, bedlam, where everyone's just, and it's all because Ty doesn't believe Satan and he's sick of not being believed. And he's like, okay, you want me to show you? I'll show you. Here we go.
He flexes his power. So this is the time where he's been trying to give Ty the benefit of the doubt and like, you know, truly, and just being like, I'm just trying to see if you'll believe me. And he's like, you still don't, you've been watching me. You've seen me mesmerize the people with my crazy, sexy dance. You've seen me talk to people. You've seen how things kind of go. And he's like, nope. And he makes the party go bonkers. And actually one of the guys who I love, Mr. Tobin, runs up and he's like, oh, Satan, hi, can you, he's like, and he believes him. You can tell this guy is like totally bought in. And he's like, will you just give me breasts? You know, he's like asking for things from Satan. And Satan's like, no. And he points a finger at him and he's like, I can just kill this guy right now with my freaking finger. Just touch his heart and make it stop. And Ty's not having it.
So as the picnic descends into chaos, he asks, how does it feel to be the devil's bitch? Like, ooh, snap.
Yeah.
Now but there was always that, you know, is he crazy? Is he actually Satan? You're like, oh, no, he's actually Satan. He was actually telling you the truth.
Yeah. This is the moment. And especially now we get a cut to you now of like the director, John C. McKinley, and like his like AD and stuff like that. Like they had run some sort of test to try to figure out, like ran the fingerprints for Ty. Like he was like, who is this guy? Like, can you find out more about his background? Cause they had no information. And they try to run his fingerprints and his fingerprints, different prints match different people. One of them matches Dillinger. One of them matches Dahmer. One of them matches Salvador Dali. One of them is like one of the grand wizards of the KKK. So like, and one of them is blank. They're like, those are his fingerprints. That's crazy. So like, who knows who this guy really is? Cause either falsified prints or like, how do you do that?
Yes. And so this is kind of starting Ty's kind of descent into madness, where he's, you know, we've already had this pressure of proving to everybody that his theory is right, which is going terribly wrong. It's been hot in this place the entire time he's been there. And now it's just kind of building up on him. And he's continuing to see his wife and his dead wife and his dead daughter everywhere. And it's kind of getting worse and more frequent and more real. And he doesn't. And so we have this shot of him having a conversation with his dead wife, who looks to him like, you know, she's really there. But then we cut to the documentary footage where the director's watching it and he's just talking to himself. So like, oh,
so but the director's like, yes.
Oh yeah, the director loves it.
Yes. He's like, give me more. He gets, yes, very like, he's like, this is the gold I've been waiting for. This guy is cracking. So they're like, decide to interview him close up, and there's all these lights on him, and again he's having more visions, and he stops the interview because it's too hot with all the lights on him. He's like literally like dripping all this sweat. They cut to him trying to interview him the next morning while he's doing his morning workout at like 4 a.m. Yeah, he's up trying to like pump. He's like, yeah, up early to work out. You know, you got to get up there and do that. And this is how I, you know, keep myself clear, keep myself ready. And he's trying to have this veneer like he's okay. And they can see because they're watching him 24/7. He's already cracked up all over the place.
And this is where the director starts to really push him. And it was like, oh, let's talk about your dead daughter and your dead wife and how you unsuccessfully treated your own daughter who was diagnosed with severe schizophrenia at age 7. And you didn't want to give her any medication. And so she committed suicide.
Yeah, she jumps
at 7.
Yeah.
So he also the subsequent, you know, death of his wife as well has just destroyed him.
And then he threatens the director at that moment. It's basically like, if you talk about my family, you talk about this again, I will literally kill you. So I was like, I bet he was cast in this documentary because of his family background. Like, this is like, you know, they look for somebody who's on the edge, you know.
Oh.
And then he wrecks his own office after this. It is pretty evil. And he wrecked what's, you know, trying to push for the good TV. And then he goes into his own, like, doctor's office that he had lovingly, like, actually over-decorated. Like, he was one of those people that, like, move into a place. I kind of do that too. I'm in this hotel for a week. I'm going to decorate this room a little bit, make it feel cozy. He did that in his office and he just throws everything kind of around into pieces. And it was interesting because the devil had done this too to his room. He had over-decorated, like, and moved in like he was going to be there forever as well, and like really created some ambiance.
Well, you know, for Satan, all you have to do is walk into a room and snap and everything's the way you want it, I would imagine. I mean, he's not like moving in bookcases and shit.
True.
It's, you know, one of the perks of being Lord of the Underworld. So you can
right?
just kind of decorate a room at your will.
So we got to Cheryl, who's our super patient that he's been trying to, and she's having serious delirium because Ty has switched out her medication for ibuprofen instead, even though he's tried to say that he was going to put her back on. And he's trying to treat her versus cure. They're talking about this treatment versus cure. There's a whole problem with all of it. And the other doctor wants her back on her meds the next thing tomorrow, but Ty puts a placebo in and it goes bad. And now he's having more visions of his ghost wife showing up in his office, talking to him about how his daughter, Brianna, who's passed away, needed the medication. And he's feeling like less than perfect. He was like, I'm sorry, I was less than perfect. And I had a really eyes without a face kind of flashback of the doctor trying to cure his own daughter and like his ineptitude and him feeling like he was the only one who could do it and feeling still really guilty about it and still in delusion that he could help other people. And it's just never going to work.
So in a strange, this is the one scene in the film that felt kind of unnecessary and odd is that, Ty had seen Satan having sex with the waitress that had been in the commissary earlier.
Lupe then
follows her into the city to a goth, like sex crazy club.
Yeah.
Confronts her and wants to know about Satan. It's like, what is it like? What is he like? And, seems so weird. Like, I mean, I know he's cracking and like going out of character, but he seemed like he was supposed to be for 30 days, like 24/7 surveillance. And now he snuck out to interview this waitress and says that,
because Satan lured her. Like, I mean, this is not like an accident. He saw her, like he walked in and saw them like having sex. And like, he was like, whoa, that looked like the most intense sex I've ever seen. Like, what was that? You know what I mean? Though, like he wants to know like how the hell, like, cause that looked like crazy good anyway. Like primal though. And I was like,
yeah,
whoa. So he's
she Yeah, and she, her answer is like, so what is it really like? He said, why are you with this guy? And he says, he fucks the hell out of me by mind, body, and soul. And you're like, ooh, well, yeah, I could see that. You're like, well, who could say no to that? Let's be.
And she was like, honest. I saw you watching when he was in me, analyzing me, when he was inside me like that. I was like, oh shit, girl. Okay. Yep. Okay.
And,
he was.
And basically like throws down like, okay, well, you want to do it? Well, here we are. And he won't do it. He's too cowardly.
He's so intimidated. How is he going to do that after Satan did that? I mean, he's
But what is he following her for? Like, just to ask her that one question? It seems.
I think he wanted to know other stuff, but I think that's just what he ended up at because that's all she offered, really. You know.
When he gets back to the hospital, things are in chaos because Cheryl is up on the roof looking to jump.
Before that, though, he had woken up in his car and he had actually figured out the thing that's what it was he was looking for her for, is to figure out where he goes as well. And he ended up getting information about going to his house, to where the Satan, Satan supposedly lived.
Oh,
and he found this old lady and he finds Satan's mom and talks with her and is like, you know, tries to find out more about him. But it's a very short moment. And then he ends up back at the hospital because he gets paged during this moment. And Cheryl is up on the roof, our patient A, and she is about to jump. The meds didn't work is what they're saying. And she's still withdrawing because he didn't actually put her back on the meds. He kept her on placebos.
Right. So now he realizes this, the exact parallel of his daughter's death. And so he's kind of in this in-between frame where he's talking to Cheryl, but he's kind of talking to his daughter and he's calling her by the wrong name. And Satan shows up and is like, I'm going to be the devil on her shoulder. Go on, jump, do it. He doesn't care about you. It's cool. And so he's this, you know, she's already so messed up and it doesn't know who to listen to and is in this caught between. And Ty knows that she's in a very fragile moment. And anything he says could just push her literally
over the edge.
Over the edge. And it does. And she jumps. So
and then
that's kind of the twangy moment for Ty, I think.
He passes out and now it's like the point of no return. He like literally like loses it. And you find out that Satan's real name is William Barnett Jr. And they end up ending the experiment because of this happening. Obviously, if there's a casualty in your reality show, hopefully they stop filming. but the cameras still seem to be rolling though, even though it's supposed to be over. All of a sudden we get this visitor to the hospital after like Satan supposedly gone is this, the lady that we saw earlier that hit the old grandma or the mom. And, but before that, there's one of the crazy guy, Tobin, the one who had asked for breasts earlier and was kind of little, one of the other guys in there. He says something under his breath, like the son came before the mother, the son came before the mother. And you're like, cryptic.
And even here, we have Sinbad coming back and still trying to talk to him. And he's, you know, never had time for him. And you're like, oh, what was he going to tell him? He could have saved him. What was he going to say? But Mrs. Barnett has a giant bag of apples and wants her to give them to Satan because they're his favorite, but doesn't want to see her boy. You go, okay. So he takes him and he starts to walk away. But we circle back around and it's takes off the wig and it's him. It's been them all along. He's been pretty much everybody. He's been Dr. Delasso. He's been his mom. He's Satan. He can do anything.
Yep,
no
he's
problems.
Everybody. He's everybody around him. And it's like dun 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 because Ty had asked for him to be put in a straitjacket and put on a bunch of drugs, which is not his style. He's like, put him on all the lithium and like get him all drugged out and like please get rid of Satan.
So we circle back around to him waking up in the beginning in this same position, and sees himself. The blood out from under the bed when he goes around the side is himself with his throat slit.
He's a ghost. So we realize, dun, 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 this whole time it was so hot because he's been in like hell, purgatory, like on his way. And so this has been his reckoning on his way to hell.
What is Sade's, Sade Hospital spelled backwards? Hades Hospital, yo. So there he is. And then this is where we actually get to see hell in a way, which is the doctor in his final form, kind of talking and having all of the patients around him. And they are like his people that will be around him forever, his slaves.
And so it was everybody he saw before, but they all look like zombies now. And like, you're in the Haunted Mansion. Like, you're like, oh shit. Like, it's the end of the Haunted Mansion ride at Disney, I think. And like, it's like, they've been riding with me this whole time. Like, the ghosts have been around me the whole time. And so everyone looks terrible. They all like, their skin's coming off their face. This is like totally like the Thriller, like kind of like Thriller moment. Like, they're all out of the graveyard. So bump, bump, bump.
And he keeps saying over and over, but I'm a good man. I'm a good man. I'm a good man. And he can't realize that he's actually in hell.
Like, no, so dude, your ego was shit the whole time. Like,
yeah,
as good as you thought you were, dude.
Crazy as Hell, totally fun film. And a really fun, Satan on screen. I really enjoyed it. I liked, you know, how flippant he was and how, you know, of course he's three steps ahead of everybody else. And having, Eric LaSalle is the first thing I've seen him in. And I was like, man, good for you, having a blast. And I like, it's, you know, enjoyable to watch him having so much fun.
It's so different than almost anything else I've ever seen him do. So I'm just like, what? he's always charming as hell. He's heartthrob guy. He's often the asshole boyfriend. Do you know what I mean? Though, like, that's his like usual like hit, you know, or just like, you know, charming as hell for sure. And like handsome model man. So to see him kind of twisting and turning and playing more in this villain space was really fun to watch. And good job on him directing this. And I'm sure, like, I feel like him and Michael must be really good friends. I feel like that's why they like wanted to work together on this too.
And what could be better than working with your friends?
Ding. Your best friend. Ding. Yeah. We love it. All right. So you want to get into some stuffs here, some gores?
Yeah. Why don't you gore us up?
All right. I'm going to gore it. Gore factor. 1, not enough blood to fill a Dixie cup. 2, a puddle of blood. 3, enough blood to gross out the average viewer. 4, bathtub of blood. 5, run for the barf bag. There was not a lot of gore in this. Only kind of towards the end when you see all their crazy faces and how fucked up they really are. And a couple of moments that are kind of touch and go, but it's not really bloody or gory. So we give this a 2 because we got a little puddle of blood, literally. That we see from our main character at the beginning of the movie, kind of at the end. So that works for that.
For movie ratings, we have 0 to 5 movie rating, we have 0 to 5 chainsaws. 1, if you're desperate. 2, barely qualifies as a horror film. 3, seen worse, seen better. 4, not too shabby. And 5, fantastagorical. I give this movie a 4. Not too shabby.
All right. I gave this movie a 3. Seen worse, seen better. I enjoyed it, but it was not my favorite thing. But I would not watch it again. I would watch it again, I think, with a group of people, maybe at a movie night with some friends, just because it's like enough weirdness happens in it to kind of laugh at and enjoy. And especially so many wonderful actors. Like I said, I was just like excited to see like John C. McGinley. It's like wonderful. It's a deranged, like, you know, director. And Eric LaSalle choose the scenery all day. So would recommend. Wow.
Yeah, and I guess for me, like, I really do enjoy watching different incarnations of Satan on screen. It's always kind of a joy to see how people interpret that as like the, you know, the ultimate evil person. Yeah. And what does that look like to you? But they're also very charming. So it's always very fun. And to have this kind of, you know, reveal at the end, like, oh, he's been in Hades this whole time. And here's, you know, surrounded by the walking dead. And you're like, oh, okay, we got a good payoff at the end. It was fun.
For sure.
So next week, we're going to continue our round of Black-directed horror films with a movie from South Africa called The Tokolosh. We're very excited to talk about this movie because the only other South African movie we've talked about is The Stay Awake.
I'm dying already. Sorry. So we watched The Stay Awake. A lot of people have not seen that movie still. We don't recommend it. It's fine if you haven't. But if you do want to do a back-to-back and be like, South Africa from the 80s versus South Africa now, I'm just going to say, I feel like a big difference too is that first South Africa one was definitely by some white director and this one is not. And I'm going to tell you, they brought the heat this time around. So I'm just giving points to South Africa for this beautiful film, The Tokoloshes, next week.
Yes, can't wait to talk about it. So thank you for listening. Please do look us up on our social media and our Patreon account. We would love for you to subscribe if you like what we do. We could always use your support.
Yay! Thanks.
So we will see you next week for The Tokoloshe.